Are you currently kind of engrossed in a television show on Netflix? Or maybe you finished one and you absolutely loved it and you want to tell everybody about it? For me, it's the show Travelers. It's kind of a time-traveling sci-fi, and it's really good time travel. Like, if you could do time travel, this is how you do it kind of time travel. Anyway, I geek out about it, and I, like, want to gush around it. You probably have that feeling about a show or two. What I want to ask you today is, why do you start watching that show? Why do you start watching the show that you really love? Maybe a friend told us about it. Maybe we, saw a late-night talk show when they had an interview with somebody or a good review in a newspaper. Lots of ways we hear about shows. The one I want to talk about today, though, is something we do inside the Netflix application. When you open Netflix on your mobile device or on your television or on the website, you see beautiful imagery. You see interesting, engaging text. And you might even see a trailer or something of that nature. All of these pieces of content, they're kind of like marketing, but they're inside our product. So we call this stuff product creative. And it has to be genuine, and it has to be engaging, and it has to be true to the show that it's representing. Welcome to We Are Netflix. I'm Lyle Troxell. My co-host is Michael Polson. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Megan Imbres. She's the director of product creative. We talked about her career moving from traditional creative marketing to how she runs her team and what her team does to create this rich product creative content inside the Netflix application.
Well, hey, Megan, you've been here for about 5.5 years, and you started off originally in marketing.
Yep.
So it sounds like things have changed quite a bit. Can you kind of walk us through that?
It was one of those things where I was working at a creative agency in Boulder, Colorado, and I was really happy there, but I wanted to move closer to my family. And so I was interviewing with Netflix and the super creative agency in San Francisco. So I was actually kind of more excited about the creative agency because I didn't really know what the opportunity was at Netflix. And I really didn't know, you know, like I'd been a subscriber for a long time, but it just didn't mean anything to me. And creatively, I didn't really know what they were doing at the time. And so I interviewed, and it was interesting because it was one of those interviews where you show up and you're kind of like, oh, we'll see how it goes. And as I started talking to more people, and then as I got through the day and I was talking kind of to the last person, because, you know, you meet this string of people on those interview days, I went from not really caring to wanting the job so bad it hurt.
In a day.
Just I wanted it so badly because the people that I met with were just, they were so smart and they were so interesting. I read the culture deck and I thought, this can't be real. You know, and you're supposed to read the culture deck before you go in. And at that point, it was that kind of janky PowerPoint. I'm like, what are they talking about? This being like some type of crazy document. And then I read it and I was like, this isn't real. And then when I talked to people, I was like, oh my God. And so it was just kind of like, it was like this puzzle coming together in front of me.
Yeah.
And so it was so neat to see that and to talk to people and feel like, oh, wow, no, this is a real thing.
This was like right before we really had a lot of originals, right? We had
like
a couple.
Lilyhammer at this point?
It was Lilyhammer and only in House of Cards season one. That was it.
Yeah.
And so...
So you're like, what do you need to help market? What do you need to show?
Yeah. Like, so it was just kind of one of those things where I was just trying to figure it out. And I had worked on these massive campaigns, so these global campaigns for Microsoft. And I worked with American Express at creating a new holiday, a Small Business Saturday. And so I'd worked on these really, really creative campaigns. And so...
And Ford and Mazda and Qualcomm and PG&E and goes on, Coors Light and so on. Yeah. Lots of big campaigns.
Coors Light. And so the beer campaigns were fun. But I had worked on these creative campaigns, and so it was just interesting because what I learned during the interview process was that Netflix really wanted to define their brand, and they wanted people to have a relationship with their brand. And you're right, there weren't that many, you know, originals that had just come out. It was just really House of Cards season one, if you're thinking about, you know, as far as like what consumers were thinking at the time. Mm-hmm. That's the one that they were really seeing out in the world. I remember taking a trip to New York just prior to interviewing and seeing the out of home, so the billboards and the some of the ads on the streets, and it was like, oh, this is different. And
they
it
are
was
doing
still,
something. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was when you were just trying to compute like what that meant as far as, you know, an entity like Netflix releasing original content. That was such a new thing and a weird thing to kind of wrap your head around. So when I interviewed, it was more about brand building and having consumers develop a relationship with the brand. And that's what I had done in the past. And it was really exciting to do that with a company like Netflix and with people that were just, I mean, so brilliant. I mean, and who are so brilliant. at Netflix. So I was super excited when I got that call that I got the job, and it was small. I mean, I think I was one of the first. I don't know. It was less than probably like 10 people that had been hired in the new marketing org, and now it's over 600.
Wow.
I know. It's so crazy. And so it was one of those things where we just had to figure out what we wanted to do. You know, we didn't – it was a – do we talk about like the fact that we had no commercials to consumers? Do we talk about this original content that people seem to really be liking? Like, what was our way in? And so it soon became really clear, one of my first big campaigns, I worked on Arrested Development, I worked on all of them, but the first big one that really hit, that I felt like really hit, was Orange is the New Black. And so that was such a fun campaign with season one to release that and see it really resonate with people. And then to be able to say like, okay, this is the direction we're going to go. This is working. This is what people are really getting excited about. And when they think about Netflix, they're thinking about these shows and, you know, let's tell our story that way.
So with that campaign, how much of it were you responsible for? Did you get to decide a lot of it, or how did that work back in the kind of the Wild West days of our?
Yeah, in the Wild West days. So we had folks that were developing the creative in Beverly Hills, and I was responsible for, at the time it was, we call it UCAN, US, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, but at the time it was only US and Canada. And so I was really responsible for developing the campaign strategy for those markets. So how are we going to talk to consumers about this new show? What channels were we going to use? Are we going to use billboards? Are we going to use – and, I mean, I had a lot of experience marketing, but I had no experience entertainment marketing. And so it was a whole new world for me just to learn, okay, there's these pubs like Variety and the Hollywood Reporter, and I need to kind of learn really, really quickly how to advertise from an entertainment perspective. So thankfully, we had some really great people with really strong entertainment backgrounds, and I was able to lean into their kind of knowledge around that stuff, and picked up really, really quick. I mean, it was trial by fire to kind of just learn how to market entertainment campaigns. But it wasn't just marketing an entertainment campaign. It was really like, how do we talk about streaming TV and movies? And that's just something that's completely different. There's no benchmarks for that.
Yeah.
And so I really had to develop a team that could figure out, okay, what metrics are we looking at? Because we can't just look at viewing, because it's like HBO viewing numbers and CBS viewing numbers. It's very different than what we were doing. And so we had to develop metrics. We had no metrics at the time. We had no brand book at the time. You know, it was, and so there were all these things that we just had to put in place that we just didn't even have. And so it was really, I mean, a lot of sleepless nights. But, you know, I mean, it was so, so rewarding to kind of help build that department and really kind of figure out, okay, this is how we're marketing these things. And this is our, and it, by the way, it's never just like one way. I mean, it was constantly evolving as our metrics just got better and better and better. And as we released more and more with originals, then we could see like, okay, here's a benchmark. Here's something
that
we can.
Did you test things along the way? Did you try things in small markets to see if it would work? I mean, how do you do that in a public space?
Well, at first it was like, can we get a campaign off the ground, right?
We know how to do this.
It was like, how can we just do this? And then it was hiring a team. It was getting science and analytics, getting them aligned to our needs, and really working with them to develop tests that we could execute against, because Netflix is such an A/B testing environment and marketing just doesn't always fit into that box. And so we really had to break the mold and think about quasi-experimentation and how to really drive kind of the objectives that we needed to drive at that time in a way that kind of could match you know, the Netflix business at the time. So there was, you know, I'll be honest, it was definitely, there was some headbutting as far as like these strict A/B tests and what those look like versus kind of what we could get from a marketing perspective. And so,
Megan, I introduced you as the director of product creative.
Yes.
And everything we've spoken right now sounds like marketing, sounds kind of traditional. You're comparing it to traditional media marketing and Coors Light commercials and the whole deal, which I kind of understand.
Oh, no. Now I'm going to be known as the Coors Light girl.
No, not at all. Sorry. But can you describe what product creative is comparatively to traditional marketing?
I know. It can be a little confusing at times for people. So global product creative, if you're thinking about the 10,000-foot view, So when you think about all the shows and movies we have on Netflix, so whether it's Stranger Things, whether it's Orange is the New Black, Bright, what have you, there's a lot of work that goes into making sure that those things come to life on the service. And so whether it's translating them into the different languages that we do, whether it is creating different assets. So when I say assets, I mean video, I mean static imagery, synopses, text, tagging, all that. That is all a part of Global Product Creative, whether it's tests. Sometimes we're doing tests around those. We're doing a lot of tests at Netflix, as it turns out. That's baked within Global Product Creative. So there's a lot of different functions within this one organization. My team specifically is the producer team. We're title ambassadors. And so what that means is that we're pulling together, we're curating, whether it's imagery, whether it's text, pulling all that together to be able to tell a title level story on the product. So when you're thinking about, you know, the trailer for The Crown and the beautiful imagery that's used in The Crown and kind of the text that kind of tells the story and a little, you know, a quick little snippet, that's all managed by my team.
So we imagine a studio that we're working with that actually has a show, and it's not even original. We're just like, hey, we want to put that show on our service. So we go to some larger company that has the show, and we go, let's buy this for 4 years and give it to our audience. So we deal with contracts and all that, and then they give us big video files, and they get to put it into our system and ingest the video files. And from that, we can do some things, like our stills when you're scanning through. But there's all this stuff that we need. Like, we need art that will work on the iPhone and work on the iPad and work on the television and work on the website. And so we actually create original art for all of those things. And that's glossing over complexity we'll get into in a second, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all the text, you know, they might have a description of the show that has a certain voice, but we have a voice of Netflix and we want to present it in our voice.
Totally, totally. And we really want to be true to the content.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that can sometimes be a tension point, is because you have folks that have a really strong point of view as far as what the content should be, but not necessarily what it is.
As an audience member, potentially.
Yeah, and so that's the thing, is we don't want to sell our audience a false bill of goods. We want to make sure that they know what they're getting into. And so we try to be very, very true to the content. That's the biggest thing. So folks on this team, they're watching the content, they're analyzing it, they're tagging it.
Can you give an example in some way, in like Stranger Things or something, where, like, what are you looking at in the story to decide what art gets produced or what narrative gets written?
So typically a producer will sit in a kickoff meeting. So sometimes that's with talent, sometimes it's not. And they'll hear about, let's say, the next version of Stranger Things or the next version of, you know, Glow, the next season of Glow. And they'll hear about all the different themes that are going to be happening within that season. Mm-hmm. And so the producer is thinking about, okay, what visually can we do on the service to represent all the different aspects of the show? And showrunners, it's interesting, and talent, they love when we show them the different images, because it's different than key art. With key art for marketing, you're looking at one sole image to represent that show. With product, it's different because we test so much. So you're looking at all these different images, and they love it because they get so excited and they're like, oh my God, you saw all the different pieces. Like, you saw it like I saw it. Like, you saw the romance angle. Let's say for The Crown, you know, for The Crown, you can have a very historical type of image, or you can have the romance, or you can have something that's like pure royalty, because some people are really into the royals. Not me, maybe just a little. And so, you know, it's really fun to be able to see all those aspects and for them to feel like their story is really coming to life through all the images that we're developing.
Okay, so describe what you mean by image testing and producing multiple images. So let's use The Crown. That's a great one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have a great picture of her crown being regal and beautiful inside the palace somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you have another picture of the two of them together in kind of a romantic look with each other.
Yes.
And go on. What are the things? What do you do with these images?
So on the service where you see all the little box arts, when you're going to select something to watch, typically there can be anywhere. It varies on the title. You know, for a stand-up comedy, you only have so many images of a guy with a mic. So we can't get super, we can't really use creative diversity too much there. But we try. And so with something like The Crown, you're right. There might be anywhere from 10 to 20 images just behind one image.
And one show can be represented like 20 different ways.
Precisely. Okay. Yeah. And that's because people are different, right? And they have different tastes. They have different interests. And I think that's what's really powerful about product is, you know, we can kind of feed into what really interests you and make sure that we kind of hit on those notes that are really going to resonate.
Yes.
And we wouldn't do it unless, you know, we saw viewing really improve. And that's something that we saw with image testing, was viewing and retention improved.
So are you trying to say that the images, there's different images throughout that show different angles, or are you saying that you take a single image and actually replace it with different images?
So the images are personalized every single day on the service. And so you could go to watch, let's say, Stranger Things, and you'd see one image, and you might log back in later and see a different image for Stranger Things, because the service has decided, the algorithms have decided, not the service. Yeah. It sounds like we have some like master Netflix person. Now the algorithms have decided that there's an image that would potentially be better at drawing you in. And so,
and we'll do Stranger Things and make an example of Michael and I, right? So we haven't watched the show. We haven't heard anything about it, which would be impossible at this point with Stranger Things because it's such a success, but everyone knows about it. But I played a lot of D&D at that kind of same age, right? And so the idea for me is that I might really get attracted to watching the show because I see the kids sitting at the table with the dice.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, oh, D&D campaign with kids.
Cool.
I was like that, right?
Yeah.
So I might get drawn into that.
Yep.
And then Michael here, what do you like? Romance?
You know, let's go with nostalgia, just like the 80s nostalgia aspect.
Yeah, so you see like one of the dances.
One of the characters on the bikes,
so
like the old
the
cruiser
angle.
Bikes.
Yep.
Like that could be really drawing in for me.
No, it's great.
So even though we both are going to enjoy the show in different ways, seeing that first image to invite us in, if it's personalized for the two of us, it'll attract us more effectively. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So I might be just attracted to more D&D stuff and he might be attracted to more bicycle stuff on the surface.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's interesting because like, when you come from a creative agency background, you're just used to seeing things wither on the vine and die, these creative ideas that you just really love.
So is it true that like if we test an image, we put it out there and almost no one looks at it, but maybe there's, you know, 10,000 people that love it or 4 people that love it, it's going to stick around and might be used.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, we always say there's not a winner when it comes to image testing. There's the right image for that right person, right?
Yeah,
and so I think that's really cool. And I think it goes even deeper than that, to where, you know, we treat everything on the service pretty equally. And so when it comes to content, really any piece of entertainment can bubble up and can become really meaningful to whether it's 10,000 people or 10 million people or 100 million people, you know? And I think that's what's so cool about working on this team and being a part of is the ability to just make something really special and to see potentially that series or that film do really well is really exciting for producers, because they feel like, you know, some of these shows they really develop bonds with working on, and they develop bonds with those maybe that talent or whomever, and so they do feel like they're just kind of like a part of this.
How would you explain the producer role that these producers, they're going to select what images are going to be created and going to have agencies to create those images?
Yeah.
Because they are really close to the content and they know, oh, there's a nostalgia piece here, there's a D&D piece here, there's all these different narratives we can talk about. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to kind of create that and love that show. What other things do they do?
Yeah, so it's a really interesting profile to hire for. It's extremely difficult because you're looking for people that understand creativity, but also, because we're Netflix and because we A/B test like crazy, they need to understand testing and the technical aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was a fairly easy transition from marketing over to product because I had worked on so much testing. I had, read product strat memos, which are those can be super complex memos. And sometimes I have to read them 5 times to understand them. But, they talk about all the changes that are happening on product. And so it was
product strategy,
mm-hmm. essentially. Yeah. And so I think it was one of those things that it was like a really nice kind of, footbridge over into product. Whereas, you know, the folks that we're hiring, some of them are going to lean more creative. They are going to, or some are going to lean more from they're going to be more of a product type of person, which means like they understand UIs, they understand more of the technical language, they might understand some of the engineering that needs to happen in order to make some of these creative ideas happen. And so it really is a mix when it comes to producers. It's not, there's not one cookie cutter type of like, this is the producer role, this is, you are it, you know, because we do try to hire different strengths across the team. So for instance, I think interactive is a really good example where you have these interactive titles and you want someone potentially with a gaming background who understands, okay, what are all the decisions that could be made and at this point in time Someone with a gaming background is going to be really, really important. But we don't need gamers or gaming backgrounds.
So I keep hearing this term producer over and over again, yet I haven't quite figured out exactly what is a producer. So
yeah.
In LA, there must be some canonical term that represents producer. So is the GPC producer different? Or
yeah.
How do they differentiate?
Global product creative producer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, Michael.
Thank you.
So, it is something that can be confusing when we hire, because when you think about it, the producers for my team, it's more about they're producing a title. And so they're thinking about, okay, what are the different video pieces that we need for the product? What should this video touch on? What are the different pieces of imagery that we need? Are there any things in the synopses we should be aware of? Are there any spoilers that we should think about? How is this content being tagged? And so we'll work really closely with the tagging team when it's maybe something, a new piece of content that we've never done before. There's a lot of new things we're doing in unscripted that we don't necessarily have, you know, this is how we tag this type of unscripted content.
What's a tag? What is it used for?
It's what you can think of as far as, you know, when we're identifying a piece of content. So whether it's comedy or whether it's, you know, drama. I mean, that's the highest level that you can think about tagging.
So it's like it's categorization.
Precisely. Exactly.
Okay. And we have a lot of them. Things like, you know, lonely or things like inspiring. There's just these moods that also emerge. So there's a ton of tags across the system. And I think people have found, like, lists of our stuff and kind of publish them, that these weird names.
There's some hilarious names out
the
there.
Collections can
the
be
collections,
funny.
Yeah.
And so when we even have to create, like I was saying, for new ones. So for Altered Carbon, we didn't have a real, like, that was such kind of an interesting show.
Yeah.
And so we created this cyberpunk category.
Yeah, that's
new.
Yeah, sure. There's other titles in that space.
I love it. Yeah. I'm into it. Rock and roll.
So it sounds like it's your producers are kind of like the matchmaker, right? They're introducing this show in the best way possible to the audience, right? And all the potential different audiences. So kind of saying, you know, you need to make sure to shower today, and you need to, you know, go out and speak clearly and communicate what your meaning is. They kind of do that for the titles.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's definitely that. It's certainly there's, and like I said, it's the creative aspect, but it's also there's a huge testing aspect, because we have so many different A/B tests that are happening, and these producers need to stay up to speed onto what those are, because there's things that are going to affect their day to day. And so we're going to change creative, like the site, the Netflix experience that you see today is not going to look like that 6 months from now. And so the producers are critical to making sure that changes that we make, when we see wins and tests, that those get implemented across the service.
So I got to say, as user interface engineers at Michael and I, I'm glad that won't look the same in 6 months, because I'd be out of a job.
Yeah. So they're
you
kind
and
of
me
the,
both.
you could say that these producers are the glue between LA and LG.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, I mean, all the producers are actually, it's interesting, they're here right now. We have a quarterly meeting where we all go to LG. And, you know, there's some teams and they do these like exotic offsites to like, I say exotic, I mean that
like
very
Ohio
loosely.
Or something?
Go to the beach or something.
Pretty much, but yeah, maybe. They go to the beach, they go to San Diego, whatever, and you know, and they're, and so it's funny because with my team, I'm like, we're going to Los Gatos. Get ready. And it's, but I think it's important because we're grounded in product. And so we need to be meeting with the engineers, we need to be meeting with the PMs, we need to have a really good understanding of what's coming, because I need to be able to structure my team in a way that can take anything, right? If we're going to be creating multiple videos for whatever it is that's coming down the pipeline, we have a big deal that we've signed with, you know, Ryan Murphy and Shonda Rhimes. Like, what implications will those deals have on the creative and on the product and on the user interface? And so those things are really important for this team to stay up to speed on. And so it's really great to be able to come to LG, sit down, have some time, get that grounding in product, because it is different. It runs differently, as you guys have experienced in Hollywood. It's a little bit more frenetic.
It's a different space, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for going over kind of the work that you do and everything, kind of explain this to us.
Yeah.
I want to give you an opportunity to kind of talk about the kind of people you're looking for in this producer role, which is global, like all over the place. We're looking for it.
Yeah, I know.
Are you looking for people that exactly had your path, where they went from ad agency to a creative agency, and or what?
Well, I mean, there are a few things that I look for when I'm hiring for Netflix, just in general. And so much about my job is hiring. So much about management at Netflix is being able to find those folks.
Those great folks.
Those amazing people that really are better than me, right? And that I can learn something from.
But don't tell anybody that.
No, but it's true. I think, you know, something that I learned really early on at Netflix was hiring people that could take my job. And I think that's such a scary thing. And it took me a while to learn it. But once you do, it just changes your life. And you realize, like, oh my gosh, I can really make my world so much easier. And it just changes your whole mindset to think about the good of Netflix and the good of the company and the organization. And so that's really what I go in. Like, what can I get from this person that we don't have? That's what I look for. I look for people with varied backgrounds. I do like folks that have maybe lived in other countries or that have, had jobs in pretty different places, because I think that helps you out at Netflix. It's not the only thing. I have folks that have certainly, they've been born in LA and they've lived in LA their whole life and they're amazing at what they do. And that's great too. Just, I think the way that we pivot so quickly here, and especially with this role, because product changes so rapidly, that we need folks that can move quickly and adapt quickly. And so that's something that I, at a surface level, I'll look for. If you're getting, more granular, yeah, I love folks that have a bit of an agency background and a client-facing background. I think marketing is really helpful, because essentially a lot of what we are doing is promoting these titles on the service, right? And so you kind of have to think about it from a marketing perspective. Where it's different is that true to content piece, where that can kind of vary depending on whether you're talking marketing or product.
We really want to represent the show as best we possibly can in product.
And I also think folks, that have a strong maybe digital background. So if they've worked at something like a Google or a Spotify or what have you, I mean, we have plenty of folks on the team with that experience as well.
So our culture deck, or not, it's not a deck anymore. It's a doc.
I guess it's a memo.
It's almost, yeah, I think it's a memo now. Yeah, that's the correct term for it. So with that, we highlight a bunch of values. How do you find that out there? Like, how do you find good judgment? How do you find, candor? That's a hard thing sometimes in a 30-minute, hour-long interview.
Yeah, it is really hard. And I look for folks, I mean, there's little things that I personally try to look at, which is, how much are they saying I versus we, as far as being selfless?
Yeah.
I think that's really critical for my team, because we have to partner with so many different teams, whether it's external parties or internal parties. And so you really need someone who's going to be a collaborator and not, not be that brilliant jerk that we've talked about.
Egotist, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's kind of a critical piece of it. I think another part of it, I think what's hard now is you get some folks that just want to get into Netflix.
Mm.
That can be tough. It's funny, because when I started, it was hard recruiting. And now I have the opposite problem, where it's like I get too many people that aren't relevant or aren't really passionate about the job.
Yeah.
And so I look for that. I look for cues in terms of how are they talking about the job and what it'll give them the opportunity to do. And, I think one of the most special things, like I was saying earlier about this job, is the ability to make any piece of content really sing and to make it really special. And that's what I think is so cool. Like, there's any piece of content that can be really, really special for one person in the globe. And so I look for people to use language like that, where it's like, this is a really kind of cool thing that I can't do anywhere else,
And it's interesting, because in that role, you have to kind of put yourself in the position of who would love this show. Even if you don't, even the show doesn't sing for you, you got to figure out what's going to make it sing and work for people.
Totally.
And so you're kind of you have to be empathic at some level to what other people might feel about that show and love it.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely right. It's absolutely right. And that is something that I'm really passionate about, which is matching people to passions, to use the word passion again. It's super important. And so if there is a producer that's like, they're really hungry for, the next, let's say, Nailed It cooking show, and that's just something that they're dying to work on, they should work on it.
Yeah.
Or if they're really, really passionate about Japanese anime, we don't necessarily have to have that producer in Japan work on it. Like, if there's someone who has a passion, like, they should get to feed that, And so I do think that's super important.
Creative and passion seem to go together.
Yeah, they do. They do. And you have to feed it and nurture it.
What are some of your passions outside of work?
Well, my kids. I have a 3- and 5-year-old, and they're amazing. They're super fun. It's not necessarily a passion. I competed in the Malibu Triathlon.
Oh, yeah.
A couple weeks ago. That was fun. I was kind of like, you're kind of coerced into it, because we have a Netflix team. So I did it. And if I can have my one bragging moment, I placed 3rd in my age class and 10th female overall, which
nice.
I'm like super excited
nice.
About.
Nice. Yeah.
I know.
How long did you train for it?
I trained for a couple months, and it was a part-time job, and I'm never doing it again.
I hear triathlons are actual part-time jobs.
I am never doing it again. Yeah. It was so crazy. And I used to water ski competitively. And so that's one of my passions that Cindy Holland and I share. We both are big water skiers. And so I have that, like, that athlete kind of drive.
Yeah.
And so when I get out there, I'm really into it. But, oh, man, it was too much. And I love live music. I'm a huge live music junkie.
Is there a lot of good music in LA?
Oh, man. There's so many. I'm seeing a show every other week.
Yeah.
Like, I love it. The venues are great. And I'm a big indie rock person and also jazz. I'm super into, like, 50s, 60s jazz. And so.
Do you model good vacation behavior?
Yeah, actually. I'm going on a vacation in a week for 2 weeks. And I don't think I did at the beginning, if I'm being honest, but it was kind of chaos at the beginning because we were really trying to figure it out. We were pioneering things. And it's almost similar to when I went into this role too, because we were really trying to define who Global Product Creative, like, what is that organization? And it was really just formed in January. So it's fairly nascent. There was a little bit of like, okay, we need to get this off the ground now. Okay, now I can go on a vacation. But definitely. And I think I really, really try to push my producers into taking vacations and making sure, like, you know, you have these kind of weird old wives tales, these like limitations that people self-impose around, like, yeah. I haven't been here for a year, so I can't take a vacation. I'm like, are you kidding me? No, like, you need that. You need that brain break. And this is such an intense place to work. I mean, it's not one of those places that's like, it's like you're working all night long by any means. Like, we're very reasonable. We're very adult about our hours. It's just there is like a different level at which you operate here. And it's awesome. And I love it. And I feed off it. But you also need to relax your brain too, you know?
Yeah.
So
we've been speaking with Megan Imbres. She's the Director of Product Creative here at Netflix. Megan, thanks so much for joining We Are Netflix.
Thanks, guys.
This has been the We Are Netflix podcast. I'm Lyle Troxell, and my co-host is Michael Paulson. Thanks for listening.